Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. Before we get to our special guest, let me take this moment to remind people about temperature control as I remind Steve to adjust the temperature. Temperature control is one of the most valuable resources that one could have. If you agree, then DFH Company is 100% the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Right now, Mitsubishi is offering a $500 rebate on their multi-zone systems through June. Take advantage. All you have to do is dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Joining us on a Flashback Friday, not the Throwback Thursday element, is one person that you all know and love, always look forward to listening to, has become a staple of this time of the season, the summer camp season, of course. One's very own Robbie Valentine. Thanks for joining us on 93.9, good sir.
Mr. Maben, thank you for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. Here's the thing. I know we're going to get into the camp conversation, but I have to take advantage of getting you on the airways because a conversation just happened in a break, and I thought you were just the perfect guy to ask this question to. Now, this is kind of a macro question. This is a teaching moment. I think you may be able to help people out. When we talk about your camps, which is obviously what we're going to talk about today, when we talk about your camps, being one that has worked your camps, I always felt like there was a level of they liked competing against each other in all your camps for 20 years. If you could kind of describe the Robbie Valentine tactics to teach competition in two or three ways, if you could, because that has always stood out to me. You know, like I said, out of all the camps I've been to, you know, your energy level of competition has always been so high. So what, like, in your big theories, why are you able to teach kids to compete so well?
Well, I guess first off, after doing this is my 35th year anniversary of doing camps, and 15,000 kids. And so I think the biggest thing is they see my energy in the arena at my age. And, you know, first, it's the structure. I think that's the first part of it. And then secondly, the kids always want to be better than the coach. And then third, you want to push the kids so hard, I get in their mind that if you listen to me, I can make you better. So I think those three things get the kid where you want them to go. But the biggest thing is having them trust you. Because kids, they have a way of they either like you or don't like you. You want them all to trust you, and then they will like you, even though as hard as you're going to make them work, it's that trust factor. Because I work with a lot of kids that are very well financially sound, and I work with kids that's just very, very poor like I was growing up. So you got to put them in a gym and not look or think about that. You got to look at the competition level and how you want to improve. Because, Marcus, not everybody wants to be a basketball player. They're just doing it at a young age. Parents put them in. And then after a few years, 8, 9 years old, they figure, hey, you know what? I might want to be a volleyball player, a baseball player. So it's just one of those things that you want them to like it first. Because, like I said, not everybody, you know, is going to end up being a basketball player like you and I were. I think those are the strategies I use.
You know, Robbie, would that apply, and again, I'm just asking the question, would that apply if you were going to, I mean, everybody has their own parenting styles, but again, we're just talking about competition in the household, you know, motivation, things like that. Would you say those are the elements that apply in the home when parents are trying to kind of get their kids involved in sports or get them just, you know, just to do things with passion?
I can see this as a grandfather. Everything I said was the same thing I was taught at home by my mom. It was a reflection of my high school coach, Ron Bevers, a reflection of my college coach, Denny Crum. They all taught the same strategy. And, you know, the likability fact is important because kids, all of us have an influence in kids as a role model. And that's important to me. And that's why when they come to my camp, your shirts are in your shorts are pulled up, your shoes are tied. And that happens for the whole week. And if it doesn't happen, you're going to get some push-ups. And so I think that's important because kids, it's a different kid than it was 35 years ago, 15 years ago. This is a tech kid. They're tech savvy. And you have to teach them differently than you did even 5 years ago. It's a different kid. You can't yell and scream at kids anymore. When we played, our coaches could yell at us and make us dig deep. You cannot yell and scream at kids anymore. You got to leave that alone. It's not going to happen. Because if you do that, you lose them. And I don't want to lose any kids. So it's a different kid. I have 6 grandkids. And just watch the way their parents discipline them. It's different than the way our parents discipline us. It's a different kid that you're working with.
Listen, Robbie, I try to agree. Well, I do agree with you on 95% of that. But you hit a sore spot with me when you said tie your shoe, because if I have to watch one of my athletes on a basketball court with his shoe come off again, I am going to turn into an absolute animal.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, there's certain kids you can do that with, but there's certain kids you have to say, hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. This is the last time you're going to walk in this building with your shoe tied. And then that's when the hammer's going to get dropped. But you know, I'm a different type of teacher.
Right.
I want to teach. I'm an old school teacher, but also you have to teach because the world is different than it used to be. I'm gonna tell you something. This summer camp's gonna be different because these kids don't even they lost a way to socialize with people due to COVID-19. So you know these kids are on a computer for 9-10 months doing schoolwork. So finally, somebody teaching them in person. It's a different kid. So that first day is going to be different than it would be the second, third, and fourth day because they have not had hands-on coaching or teaching in over a year.
So you feel like you're personally responsible for introducing them back to society and socialization?
Camp always starts Monday and Thursday. Tuesday, hell to pay.
So give everybody a quick rundown. Where can they find you? I'm sure everybody's a little bit inspired and a little bit energized. Where can they sign up for the 35th year running? And you got to be doing something right to be able to keep it going at the rate you do for 35 years. So let everybody know where they can catch you and sign their kids up for camp.
Okay, there's two things I want to say. First off, you can go to kfcyoungcenter.com and register for camps. There's two camps at the KFC Young Center. There's one camp in Jeffersonville with Wiley Brown. The first week of July, but we're going to have a press conference May 7th with the mayor and several other sponsors, Commonwealth Credit Union, Pepsi, Junior Bridgman, Dallas Houston, and MPI Printing, and that we came together, and we're going to do a basketball camp for kids only in the south end of Louisville and the west end of Louisville. Marcus, that part of Louisville's been hit hard. A lot of those kids is less fortunate. A lot of, you know, single parent families. You know, we're going to do something special for that group of kids because they went all summer last year. They went with them. There was not one rim on a goal. There were no swing sets. There were nothing. COVID-19 shut down the South and West End 100%. And so, what we want to do is do something special for them Monday through Thursday, at the end of June. And then at Thursday night, we're going to do a celebration for the kids on a Pepsi Plaza. Have some live music and give them some swag bags. Let them know you're important. We're going to make sure to help you become successful in life. And so we'll make an announcement on June 7th at 2 o'clock. And the mayor is pumped up. Metro Parks is pumped up. Bearden Johnson and group. And I tell you, I'm more pumped up about that than anything I think I've ever done in my life, all because, you know, the kids have not been able to to do some of the things that other kids have been able to do throughout our Kentucky and Southern Indiana area.
Mm. Well, Robbie, listen, you don't let too much time go by before you jump on. I know you're going to have KFC Yum Center events coming up and everything like that. You don't ever hesitate to call my co-host there. He's excited about WWE coming to the Yum
Great
Center.
Great news this morning, Mr. Valentine. I saw that.
Yeah, we just announced that this morning, and I'm going to tell you, I went over to Ojai Valley the other day and participated in some fun over there. First time I was there. And I had a good time, but WWE, it's entertaining. I love it. It's entertaining, and the kids and family. It's a family show, and we love seeing the families come in. But one thing that happens every time we bring in WWE, we get the same families to come in every year, and this will be the 10th, 11th year they've been here, twice a year, usually about 15, 16 times. And it's really cool because you get to see all the families that come back, and that's what we want to see happen.
That's 100%. Well, listen, Robbie, I do appreciate you dropping some wisdom on our listeners. I'm sure they appreciate it. I'm sure our parents appreciate the advice, and everybody look forward to the Tuesday of the Robbie Valentine Camp where there will be hell to pay. I appreciate it, Robbie.
Thank you guys very much for letting me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was Robbie Valentine, 35 years.
Yeah, man. We had a few texters even while he was on. We're talking about how they went to they went to his camps and stuff like that, so that's really cool to see.
Camps.
Brian went to his camps.
he's
sources say.
Yeah. What did he teach you, Brian?
Man, I love those camps. I remember going to Robbie Valentine's camps. I went to Roger Berkman, Coach Davenport. I went to all those camps when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Were you dominating?
Oh, you know it. Three ball. Three balls all day.
What's the coolest camp, sports camp you ever went to as a kid? Okay, we'll say Mr. Valentine's aside.
Okay, yeah, because we got to put Robbie.
Yeah, because we can't say that right after we got off the phone.
That's number one. Who's number two behind it?
I would say that the best camp I ever went to, I took a road trip up to Purdue, and I went to Gene Cady's basketball camp. And that's where I told you I met Glenn Robinson, and he was my – you know how every camp – has like a tournament segment, and you break up into teams, and one of the counselors is your coach. Well, Glenn Robinson was my coach, and we had a bunch of former Purdue players up there. It was pretty cool. I have some relatives who went to Purdue, and they are boosters for Purdue. They get season tickets to all their games. They drive up there, and at the time, I got to go see Drew Brees play. It was when football was going on, and We went up and saw him, and he still had the mole on the side of his face at the time.
Yeah.
But we were literally right behind the bench, and he came up, and the where he would call the coordinator, the phone was like right in front of us. We were in like the third row.
That's an awesome
spot. So he came
up
to us. But Gene Cady's basketball camp was pretty awesome.
Okay, well, the conversation, this is, it's going to be kind of an easy transition, because what I asked him about was competition, right?
Okay.
And the competition is going to lead us into my other big gripe with a certain portion of the fan base, which is probably much larger, but maybe I need this portion of the fan base to reset the way they think in sports. And I'm not going to go quite docket level with this conversation, but you'll get the point when I ask you, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you agree with what I'm saying? Is it just something that I have to get used to? So, Steve, I listen to people, talk about their expectations on the University of Louisville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with expectations. I don't have a problem with Louisville being a big-time program. I don't have a – again, I know that I am more empathetic because I know how hard it is to win one basketball game.
Sure.
I know how hard it is to win a football game. I know a lot of people may not have that experience, at the level I do have it. So it makes me – and I understand that. My empathy level is different, from everybody's. But it's the extreme success rates – that I don't like. Again, when I say Kentucky has a number one recruiting classes, 3 years in a row, it's okay to say you got to win championships.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that that's an expectation, But again, when I hear this, and we talked about it earlier, when I hear clouds and tournament bands and program this and all this good stuff and Adidas and FBI and all this stuff, I usually want people to like, okay, understand you're getting kids to buy in, you're getting kids to not transfer, you're getting kids to believe in the program, and you're trying to push them hard enough and harder than any other coach because you can't get your A-list top number one guys. And you the expectation, you know, like you want the enthusiasm, you want the focus to be the top kid, but you would understand if the clout or something around it didn't make it happen. So anyway, I get agitated at unrealistic stuff, you know what I'm saying? Especially not factoring in COVID, not factoring in the you lost your 7 senior class team and all that good stuff. So I arrived at a point, I'm just like, why is everybody so comfortable setting this year or bust? This year, if he doesn't, then fire. You know, why is everybody always in a push to, you know, to need that everything's on the line, right? So I'm thinking, I think the thought hit me when I was riding in the car. Why does everybody need that extra anxiety, right? Then it hit me, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
These are all gamblers.
Yeah.
The people that set, that love to set this year or nothing are gamblers. Either I win or I lose all my money, or I win big, or I go find another game to win big or lose all my money. And then I find another game, win big. Because I'm thinking, you have Coach Mac. You've said it, Steve. I dare you to rumor Mac is leaving. Mm-hmm. I dare you to rumor it. I might rumor it just to watch y'all squirm when you see whoever. You name the program. Show up here.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Mac, heard you ain't unhappy with Louisville.
He would have a job in a week.
A week?
Somebody would get fired.
Week?
Yeah.
Did you say week?
Well, I'm saying it would be official, fire their coach.
Yeah. So you had to do the mandatory 7 days to put the job, to post the job on the board. Mm-hmm. And on the seventh day, at the seventh second,
yeah,
he would be being announced, yeah, as the new Duke coach, yeah, or something, yeah, yeah, you know, just whatever. You know,
I don't know if Duke was where I was going to go.
But I wasn't either, but you get the point.
Yeah, I don't know if Coach K would get fired. Of all places you could have picked.
You know what's funny about that?
The best coach in college basketball. Huh?
You know what's funny about that? I meant to say Carolina, and the joke I was making is they'd fire Hubert Davis for Coach Mac.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said, I was just looking for one of those jokes. But you get what I'm saying, Steve? I was like, you know what? You gamble like that with your coaches, and you end up broke. You gamble, yeah, like you can get a better coach than Coach Mac. After you give them 3 years, and then the fourth year is, we're going to fight. Like, you literally lost your best team in 3 years, and you suffered the most coach. You're going to blame that on him, blame those 2 years on him, call them meltdowns, and then you're going to swing for the fences on your fourth year, get pissed off, and fire him. Boom or bust.
Yeah.
Every year. You're addicted to boom or bust. And then I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're applying gambling tactics to coaches and program building decisions. You're going to end up a zero. You're going to end up dialing 1-900 with it.
Yeah.
Is that it? 1-900 with it?
It is 1-800-9 with it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
1-800-9 with it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be looking for the next Coach Mac who is strong enough to fire his best friend,
mm-hmm,
his mentor. You're going to be looking for a coach strong enough to bring in someone to help jump ahead of the system in offense. You're going to be looking for a coach who doesn't lose his superstars early to the draft, or who doesn't make kids that don't make a rash decision. You're going to miss coaches getting Quinn to give it another shot, buy in another year, Aiden buy in another year. Do those things. You're going to miss that kind of stuff if you do the boom or bust, no program building, you're done, you know, get out of here. Well, listen, we'll roll the dice again, Steve. We're going to roll the dice again to see if some other coach pops up and we can hope Vince Tyree can land the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Satterfield. You literally got the biggest turnaround and the most attention in football. You are going to be on playing Ole Miss on TV instantly. You got a coach who's known for taking down giants.
Yeah.
And you're gonna find a way to pick and prod at his resume and his career, and so you can roll the dice again. You're gonna be a loser if you keep on trying to roll the dice with your programs over and over again. So, my question is, do I let it go or do I keep letting them know that what you're doing is a dangerous game that you end up losing in the end?
Well, it's an odd place because, see, there are some that, like, and we kind of get to gauge it a little bit on the text line and different ones because, I mean, there's some that you can just tell, man. Like, you can just tell. They're not going
to
be happy.
Yeah, you're addicted. You're addicted to the gamble.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. I mean, listen to this. Somebody says, it's his fourth year. How long should he get a pass?
What kind of?
Listen, two up. Satterfield needs to land a quarterback or he'll be Cragthorpe.
Yeah, because Satterfield didn't take a 2-10 team and what went eight games the next year, Steve?
I know.
Because that's what Cragthorpe did.
So it's like.
You see that connection you did?
Yeah.
You see that connection?
Yeah.
Four wins and you led the nation in close losses, Steve. Or you're second in the nation in close losses.
Yeah, I know. But my point is, like, I don't know that you can really argue that or that you can, because some people are just not going to be happy. They probably hated Rick. They were upset at Rick. Of course, they won't say it now.
Yeah, they're the person who who loves it now, wants a second chance. But, again, they're the person that said it's not about wins and losses with Rick. Because when Marcus and Steve said, are y'all insane? Are you not going to let this man at least get his trial by jury? Are you going to let Tom jury? Nah, PR. Shake him up. Shake him. Roll the dice again.
Yeah.
Vince Tyre, we'll see. Shake him up. Dan McDonald. Vince Tyre, you need to do something with Dan McDonald. Shake him up. You're addicted. You're addicted into speeding towards a brick wall if you think these programs aren't doing a great job.
Yeah.
A good gambling percentage is 58%, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you call these coaches better than 58% doing a good job?
No, absolutely was. But
speaking of gambling,
if you do want to keep gambling, I can help you with that because it is playoff time. Big stakes and bigger promotions. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with the chance to turn $5 into $200. That's 40-1 odds on any basketball game. All you have to do is pick any team that's still in the hunt for the trophy, and if that team wins, you'll receive $200 in free credits. That's right. Pick any team that is still in connection. Bet $5. And if that team wins, you cash $200 in free credits. All it takes is to claim 40-1 odds on a basketball team of your choosing. Is place a $5 bet on that team and that team to win. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WLCL when you sign up to turn $5 into $200 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you claim $200 in free credits. That's promo code WLCL for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Indiana only. New customers only. Wagers paid out and site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We're going to take this call. Then we're going to get ready for Steve Rummage to give y'all off of his tease. I can't believe we took the whole show to get to Steve being able to get the people back going again. But let's take this phone call. Mario, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I mean, you can relate to me a lot. Maybe because you a military kid, you know how you used to go around and everybody would wear their jackets and stuff or shirts from the states that they was from.
No doubt.
Yeah, so I was one of those kids, you know what I'm saying? I only thing I wanted for Christmas when I would call home, be like, send me a Louisville shirt or sweatshirt. And I want to say Louisville. I didn't want to say Cardinals or University of Louisville or U of L, nothing like that, just straight Louisville. And I would always say that because, you know, we always said we wanted from Louisville. We went from Kentucky. We from Louisville.
Right.
It's different. And one of those things that was a part of that was we not like them. But now we starting to act like them, man, when we come to fans with the silly stuff that you was pointing out, like just, you know, just not being patient, not really seeing what was going on, just, you know, saying knee-jerk reactions and stuff like that. And I'm kind of disappointed in our fan base in those regards because – I'm going to try to cut this real short, but I remember when Craig Thorpe was there, and I'm at the football game, and, like, I think it was the third quarter, some fraternity or something was at before they extended the top of the, you know, the new addition.
Yep.
They had this big old long piece of fabric, and they had put on there, only Steers and Queers come from Oklahoma. And the rest of the crowd started booing them because they know we don't do that type of stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and because, you know what I'm saying, we saw us grow from nothing with Howard Snellenberger to, you know what I'm saying, getting some success. And then we had a dip. So we was used to, you know what I'm saying, going through the ups and downs. But I guess the new kids was only used to success.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know how to react to some sort of adversity. And so I'm a little disappointed in us acting in this type of way, and it's kind of disturbing, but I'm thinking you hitting the nail on the head. Like, that's not Louisville culture. That's some new stuff, man. So I'll hang up and let y'all comment on it.
Mario, I appreciate the call. Like I said, I really enjoyed your point, but I got to be honest, man. You took me back when you started talking about getting clothes from the States. Steve, all you wanted is something from the States when you're overstationed overseas.
That's awesome.
Grandma, I just need... And whatever you got, Steve, was going to be 8 months ahead of everybody else. Like, it literally took 8 months for retail items to get from the United States to Germany. And if she got you some Donovans that ain't going to be here, but it's like getting a car that's not out till 2023. Imagine going to school with some Donovans and knowing nobody's going to get access for the whole season to these Donovans.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you got to watch me wear these for the entire NBA season.
I know.
By the time shoes come in, I'll be on to the
next
one.
Yeah, right. Look, if you had a plug back home in the United States of America that could send you a gift every once in a while with some representation of the States, it was just like that was the hottest item. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll take our last commercial break. We'll let Steve take it away after that. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. There is a reason. I always wait to the last minute. I want to leave you with the best feelings and the best ideas that you can have on days like this. Y'all know this is one of my favorite days. You know why this is one of my favorite days? It's because I get to read out loud. Thanks to Beer Nose, or thanks to George and the Beer Nose team for dropping off lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. Thinking lunch or dinner? Beer Nose has you covered tonight and this weekend. All Beer Nose, now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support local. Yeah, it's that good. Beer Nose Pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and remember what I said, y'all. Remember what I said. Skillet, little bit of water, just some splashes of water. Reheat your pizza in a skillet. Don't use the microwave anymore. Do it in the skillet. You might start just, don't even worry about doing multiple pieces. If you can fit two in there, fit two in there. But you might almost want to do each pizza by itself, smash it, and go do the next piece of pizza. Do it in the skillet. I'm telling you, it's the best discovery of my adult age, or one of the better ones when it comes to food. Anything else, Steve?
No.
So, Steve, since I totally gave you no time to speak because I had to get these two theories off my chest, you left a tease that probably got half of the entire population angry with me, because instead of hearing good stuff, Steve, they're hearing Pete off Marcus.
Fair enough.
Okay, so fire away.
So, last night, I got a video sent to me. Not going to reveal where this video came from, but there were two individuals in the video.
Mm-hmm.
One individual was a defensive lineman that is headed to the University of Louisville. The other individual was an offensive lineman headed to the University of Kentucky.
Man, I'm listening.
It was at a camp.
It was at a camp where a University of Louisville defensive lineman was going against a Kentucky offensive lineman at future. A camp. A future offensive
possible.
Lineman? Okay.
So it's one-on-one drill. Coming off the edge, one-on-one, tackle, and see what you got. When I say the defensive lineman, look, my phone went off. I was like, uh-oh. when I say the defensive lineman blew the offensive lineman completely off the line, controlled him wherever he wanted him to go, and then threw him to the ground.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because everybody can have one good moment. I mean, I did hear you say control.
Yeah.
But if you watched another 12 times of this matchup, what would the score be?
Without a doubt, 10 times, 7-3, 8-2.
That won't work for offensive linemen.
No.
Because you let two go by you a game. One of them's a turnover.
Yeah.
And one of them's a sack.
Yeah. Well, it's like you imagine, what's the cartoon? Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's a strong guy, like coming off the line. And the other one, the O lineman was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a good one. Did I say good one? He was a good one.
Okay.
A good, you know, sorry, it's my country one. Accent. He was a good one. Good one. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. A good one is what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry. But was, anyways, the two guys. And, right. And just when he come off the line and just one hand in his chest, boom, and rocked him back.
Right.
And brought his other hand up and just started to control this offensive lineman back to the bag and threw the offensive lineman.
Kind of like literally like Popeye.
Like if you imagine if Popeye was
just
the cartoon
spinach,
character.
Right.
Right. And he throws. Like I said, he throws this old lineman, who's a good one.
Popeye has some good wins in a cartoon.
I know, right? And I'm talking just says, all right, I'm done. Boom!
Like, I want you to know that I could have done this over and over
again. After the play, let's say the old lineman just looked up and was like, yep.
hope nobody saw that. So, big picture to, you know, your Popeye, you know, and his good wins in the story, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
it was a good win for the defensive lineman.
And you would expect that defensive lineman, wherever he goes,
yeah,
to contribute early?
Maybe. Depends on who's there.
Okay, but would he push?
Yes.
Would he push?
Yeah, he will. And over his career, put it this way, if my coach only had 10 scholarships, he'd get one of them.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
Okay, so sleeper.
Absolutely not going to post a video.
Sleeper.
Sleeper. I think we're sleeping on somebody on the defense. Comes out today. They have been putting little, and you know, you can put so much stock in some of these rankings, you know, and different stuff here. Ross Whitaker sent this to us. So there's a Twitter account out there called Big Game Boomer that's been putting out like top 50 at different positions and stuff. Well, they did corners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've got Ketrell Clark at 26th in the country, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
They got Chandler Jones at 21.
I knew it. I said his name yesterday, Steve. Yeah. I said his name yesterday when we were making jokes and said, that's just Chandler Jones over there. But Chandler Jones was in some positions to make some plays.
Yeah.
And you remember how everybody always got better when Jair's swag was on the field?
Yeah.
Y'all going to start trying to pick on Chandler Jones. He might mess around and do something.
Made me wonder. I was like, are we sleeping on Chandler? Because we talked about the other day about our Legion of Boom, which I'm coming up with a name for, with Cole, Duncan.
You can't use Legion of Boom.
Lovie Jenkins, you know, Ben Perry, Ketrell Clark. And then we were like, you know, and then whatever you want to put over there.
We learned our lesson with nicknames, Steve.
And I'm going to call him the insurance man. Not the tax boys.
Golly.
But do you want to hear something funny? Do you want to know who is a one spot ahead of Chandler Jones?
One spot ahead of Chandler Jones. I'm curious.
Sean Jolly.
Where do I know that name from?
He's from App State.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I did find that interesting.
Without a doubt, recruited by.
But anyways, there was a. But yeah, I was like, do we need to wake up a little bit on Chandler Jones? I mean,
I think we're comfortable saying, Chandler, you're gonna have to make sure that they don't pick on you.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to make them pay for trying to pick on you.
Yeah,
and listen, for Ketrell's sake, like you're gonna mess up Ketrell's numbers if you let them get away with picking on you.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying? So yeah, if I'm Ketrell, I'm like, if I'm the coach, I'm going to talk to him like, hey, Clark, you need to stay on Chandler.
Yeah,
you like. I know it's competition against each other, but you're going to need him. You're going to have to force him to use the whole field,
mm-hmm.
the opponents. So I do kind of hope he holds down his spot.
And he's
experienced.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he does, we'll be in really good shape.
What year is he going to be?
Junior, right?
That's a good
thing. Think a junior? Yeah.
That's a good time. Well,
especially because last year didn't count, so. Maybe sophomore.
Counts when you're trying to fire everybody.
I was going
to
say, yeah, maybe a sophomore. Also, one last thing. For everybody who texts me when the Suns won game one, you don't have to apologize now.
Wait a minute. Did you get a wave of people saying?
Yeah, it was like, Steve, you said the Lakers were going to be. I'm like, well, I mean, it's game one, but so.
Listen, to your point, Steve and Brian. I think I'm going to want that Anthony Davis. Oh, he's not even in there.
Yeah, Brian's over there. Brian's doing his thing.
Come on, Pedro. You don't know how to play the sound yet?
Yeah, make something happen here, man.
He hasn't taught you to go.
I'm learning still, man.
Fair enough. I was just messing with you. Anthony Davis having to call out Devin Booker.
Yeah.
But to your point, Steve,
yeah.
Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It was game three.
Yeah.
You lost by 10 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you flagrant fouled with a minute 43. You know, like you pulled a dirty piece of crap move because you lost by 10 on the road to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So to your point, you, for whatever reason, you culturally can't handle this level of competition. You couldn't take a loss in game three.
I know.
Walk to the locker room and lick your wounds and get ready to come out and play again.
I know.
It's almost like you saw the same thing I saw in the reaction. And it's funny. The only person that showed maturity is Anthony Davis. The only championship you got was somebody who was willing to say,
yeah.
I don't care about scoring. I want to do what's best for the team.
I'll rebound, block shots, and we'll go in.
Which is the exact opposite from every other entitled, mm-hmm. culturally entitled player that we've seen on that program.
Yeah.
And y'all aren't talking about it. Listen to the one adult and the one reason that you actually got that championship.
Yeah.
Listen to the adult.
What? Steve. Oh, did you want the Anthony Davis?
No, it's okay, Brian. It's over. It's over. It's over. Play it on out.
Last minute of the game, it got a little feisty down there. You see the Devin Booker push the shoulder.
You might as well play it out in the background behind Anthony Davis.
You can't do that. I mean, they've been chirping his playoff basketball, but you don't push a guy out of the air like that, two hands. It's a dirty play. Dennis could have really got hurt right there. You know, we keep it in between the lines. You know, we never want to. And I know Monty, you know, he's not that type of coach. I mean, he's probably going to say something to him, but my coach for 3 years.
What just happened? You know, I don't have headphones on. Why is everybody laughing?
Hard fouls, things like that. Playoff basketball.
Somebody fill me in.
We'll talk about it.
To blatantly push a guy.
Phil sent me skull and crossbones.
You know, good thing he's okay, but
he's dead laughing.
Like that,
Texter,
you know,
says, way to go, Brian. Texter says,
game,
Brian, that's the biggest box of all time.
No, I'm going to blame Pedro.
What'd you think of
Pedro,
that
you supposed
hey,
to
be Pedro.
You
were supposed sitting to back here with me. We're having a conversation.
Pedro was supposed to be able to fill in instantly.
I'm sitting here. I'm the only one that doesn't know what happened. I had no headphones on.
Let it go, Steve.
Man,
you missed it. Stop taking your headphones off early. Are you playing out with Anthony Davis?
It was Phil.
Oh, Phil's. Oh, yeah. Play out. Play out. You mean to tell me? You mean to tell me?
Wait, did we do Barino Street?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
You don't listen to anything, do you?
I don't have headphones.
I'm right across from you with no headphones. What do you mean you need headphones to hear me? I'm literally sitting right across from you, less than 3 feet away, talking. You don't need headphones to hear what I'm saying. Yes, I did the bare nose read. Steve.
Yeah. That's an OG right there.
Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.